Hello, everybody. This is Flurries and Films, and in this week, we're talking about the movie Gladiator.
Hit the music! And I'm Colleen Flaherty, and this is Flaherty's on Films, a little podcast where we talk about super fun films. This week, we're talking about Gladiator, Russell Crowe vehicle. Michael, tell the folks at home what it's about.
I will, but first of all, let's just compliment ourselves for such a smooth intro.
That was perfect.
That was a perfect intro.
Like, are they professionals?
This sounds like a real podcast. So, Gladiator 2000, a former Roman general sets out to exact vengeance against the corrupt emperor who murdered his family and sent him into slavery.
That is what the film is about. Michael, have you seen this before?
Maybe. I don't think I've seen it sober before. Have you seen the film before? How do you feel about it?
It is my friend David's favorite film, that in 2001, which says a lot about his tastes. I remember thinking it was very long, and I still think that.
You don't feel any other feelings?
Oh, I feel some feelings, but we're going to get into it. Let's, you know, let's tease it a little. Let's leave some.
Sure. Now you have a reason at home to keep listening. Should we go to our first segment?
Let's do it.
This first segment is called What the Hell?
Time for Michelle, the segment we do every time, unchanging, where Michelle comes on and tells us some cool facts. Michelle, tell us about the film.
Thank you so much.
Tell us about the film Gladiator, starring Russell Crowe, directed by Ridley Scott from the year 2000.
And Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix. Name a third one.
If you could, if you had to do it right now, could you spell Joaquin correctly?
I just tried and no.
J-O-Q-U-A-I-N.
Nope. You already messed up.
Damn it. What
J-O-A-Q. I think.
I was pretty fucking close. Do you think?
Hey, you're closer than me. I never get the J.
J-O-A-Q-U-I-N.
Joaquin. I start with W-A and then Google's like, I can't help you.
Siblings have hilarious names? Like... because they grew up cult. Well, you know, there's River Phoenix, which is a very sad story.
Right.
And anyway, go on, Michelle.
What are the other siblings?
Well, so I was going to look up the siblings while she told us the first fact, and then I'd come back with it. See, it was going to be kind of a callback joke.
Would have been smooth, but I messed it up.
Yeah,
go ahead,
Michelle. It's Rain, Summer, and Liberty.
Really? So. People should be creative with names.
Oh, and Leaf?
Oh, that's a normal name. L-E-I-F. That's a normal name. Leif Erikson.
First of all, that's L-E-I-F.
That's what I said.
And that's not a normal name. You didn't go to school with a leaf.
I actually did.
You really?
I actually did do that. He was a grade below me. But yeah.
Really?
Well, yes. So
now I
go.
Feel like an asshole. I'm sorry to your friend Leif, who definitely probably spelled it with an I and not like leaves falling from the tree.
I didn't say he was my friend.
Was he a Viking?
No, he was just a guy.
Because that's the only...
He's a guy who I really don't know at all that well. Please go ahead with your awesome facts, Michelle.
Sure. Here's a bonus fact. When Joaquin Phoenix met Johnny Cash, it turns out Johnny Cash was a huge fan of this film and started quoting the most disturbing lines.
Whoa!
Back to Joaquin Phoenix. And the way the little fact was written on the internet, it was kind of implied that it was from like the really disturbing like brother sister scenes. So.
Nice. For those at home who've forgotten, Joaquin Phoenix played Johnny Cash in that biopic.
Yes. So
sorry.
All right. Well, we'll start with the hard facts. It won 5 Oscars.
Ooh.
It was nominated for. And here's your question of the week. It's coming very early. How many Oscars was Gladiator nominated for?
How many categories are there?
Like a great question.
Like 100? Like 80?
I think less than 80, but more than 40.
I'm going to guess 15.
Oscar. I'm going to guess 12. I'm surprised it won 5.
It won 5. Okay. Michael gets it. It had 15 nominations.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good job, man. Yeah.
It's crazy. Let's see. For its wins, it won Best Picture, Best Actor for Russell Crowe, Best Sound, Best Costume Design, and Best Visual Effects.
Yeah, remember when the Oscars used to give Oscars to like movies that everyone actually saw? That was a weird time.
What won Best Picture last year?
Not Moonlight, because that was the year before.
Yep.
Proves your point. You don't even know.
Oh, a Green Book.
Oh boy. Oh, that's right.
So that's not only is that a movie no one saw, but it's also like racially progressive, but not.
Are they doing the Oscars for 2020?
I don't know.
I think they're probably doing it virtually.
Yeah, they did the Emmys, right?
Yeah.
But they just like showed up to people. They showed up to people's doors and they did on-set bits. Like it wasn't like normal.
Right, because only like one movie came out, like Tenet and Sonic the Hedgehog.
Right. Movies aren't coming out. That's why you asked.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Mulan's there. Hamilton, the recording. I'd give that an Oscar.
Sonic the Hedgehog, I already said.
I would love to see how many categories Sonic the Hedgehog gets.
Probably a lot, because like what else?
Best visual effects, because they had to do it twice.
Fastest movie? Who else is going to claim that? No one.
Oh, that's a terrible pun. So Gladiator was popular, but it was the second highest grossing movie of 2000. It wasn't even the highest grossing.
So. What was?
Mission Impossible 2.
Sure.
Ah.
Sure. Sure. So the movie was produced by DreamWorks, which is Steven Spielberg's company. And Steven Spielberg greenlit the picture very quickly after he asked only 3 questions. Was it about ancient Roman gladiators and not the Mayans or anyone else? That was a yes. Did it take place in the ancient Colosseum? That was a yes. And were there fighting with animals and swords to the death? That's all he wanted. He wanted Roman gladiators in the Colosseum fighting each other to the death.
Yeah, he's like, I got too many Mayan scripts on my desk. I cannot look at another one. Tell me if this is something original.
It's like, oh, it's a Ridley Scott thing. I'm just going to ask these because I'm curious.
Because it seems like he would take it in a weird place.
Yeah. I don't think Ridley Scott was even on the project yet. Oh. I think the screenwriter pitched it because Ridley Scott had to be convinced a little bit. He was convinced after he saw a copy of a 19th century painting by Jean-Léon Gérôme called With a Turned Thumb.
I assume that was perfect French pronunciation.
It was. You could hear a lot of French people go, ho, 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 because I...
Which is what they do when they hear the correct pronunciation.
I'm so sorry to our many French listeners.
They have bread and butter. They're fine. Here's a fun bonus fact. You should go look up the picture right now. Go Google it. It's called With a Turned Thumb.
Put it on our Facebook page.
Yeah. Put it on the blog. The painting gets the meaning of thumbs up and thumbs down wrong. It's actually backwards. Wow. The ancient Roman emperors turned their thumbs down to let a gladiator live, as in denying the crowd's request for death and destruction. The painting shows the crowd with their thumbs down and the victor standing over a dead gladiator. So that's fun.
Very fun.
Thumbs down is wrong. You heard it here first. Ridley Scott got permission from the British Forestry Commission to actually burn down an entire forest in Surrey, England, for that beginning battle between the Roman legions and the German horde. The forest was scheduled for deforestation, and Ridley Scott was so grateful that he was given permission to film and do all of his like fun, real visual effects in that location that he donated his resources to help the commission finish the deforestation project. So most of that like burning and ash was all real.
Nice.
Russell Crowe is a giant crybaby. He complained about the script often. He told the co-writer, according to the co-writer, "Your lines are garbage, but I'm the greatest actor in the world, and I can make even garbage sound good."
Did he really?
Huh.
It's what the co-writer.
It's okay. He's a man, so that just means he's so brilliant. He can't not be an asshole. Well, that's how that works.
I mean, he said that. He's not, what, is he going to lie?
Mm-hmm. Right? He's the greatest actor. That's just facts.
It's just facts. You got a first-hand account.
The script went through several rewrites, I'm sure because Crow was a whiny, whiny baby about it. And there were also a fair amount of improvised lines that made the final cut. When Maximus is describing his Roman villa, Crow improvised the entire monologue talking about his home in Australia that he hadn't seen for many months while he was filming. Joaquin Phoenix improvised the line, "Am I not merciful?" which is very fun.
Oh, wow.
In a related story, Crybaby Crow didn't care for the line, "And I will have my vengeance in this life or the next." But he failed to improvise anything better, so now it's among the most famous lines in the movie.
Haha. Suck it, Crow.
Suck it, Crow.
Yeah. I had a little hand washing timer for, you know, because you're supposed to wash your hands for how long?
20 seconds.
20 seconds. I almost said 2 minutes. I'm like, that can't be right. Anyway, and yeah, that was his speech, right? Husband to a murdered wife, father to a murdered son, that whole thing. And then it ends with that line. It's very good.
Yeah, I don't know why that line's so bad. I think it's very good. And it fits the tone in the movie.
Crybaby Crow.
Crybaby Crow. All right. And for my last fact, here's a surprise. Did you guys know there's a sequel?
No.
What?
That involves a time traveling Maximus?
What?
Uh-huh.
Are you
sorry? All right. So Nick Cave, who apparently is a musician, but I don't know for what or in what band.
David would be really annoyed with you right now that you said that.
Oh, shoot. Was he from like Radiohead or one of the bands? I don't know.
I want you to keep guessing. No, I have no idea what he's from. He's very famous. David's like, oh, Nick Cave. Like everybody knows who Nick Cave is.
Oh, well, Nick Cave is a bit of a weirdo. So Russell Crowe and Ridley Scott asked him to write a sequel to Gladiator for reasons unknown. Cave decided to deal with the whole like Maximus is super dead problem by having the Roman guards reincarnate him in the beginning. And then somehow Maximus time travels to World War II, the Vietnam War, and becomes a modern day general at the Pentagon in the sequel.
So this is not a real film that got made.
Sadly.
No, the studio rejected it.
But like, sadly. So it sounds like one of those things that like, oh, what a silly idea he came up with. No, no, no. This was an idea that Russell Crowe and Ridley Scott were very interested in and were trying to get made at the studio. Yes. Like, this was not something someone told at a cocktail party once.
No.
Did it have a title?
That is a great question.
I have an answer
to
that.
Research it.
That it's not Gladiator 2. And they had a lot of discussions about that because they're like, since he's not a gladiator anymore, they can't really name it Gladiator. But then people are like, but then people won't know it's a sequel. So there was a lot of discussion about it.
So they're not going to go with my title, Gladiator 2, as opposed to Gladiator.
That's terrible.
Thank you.
And with that, we come to the end of my facts.
Yay, Michelle.
Yay.
That was great.
What the hell?
Time for Michelle. Time. That was excellent.
As it always is for every single one of our episodes.
As it always is. It's a podcast staple. What's the next thing we do?
Our other podcast staple, Trouble on the Amazon.
Oh, wait. No, that's not it.
Oh, shit.
You messed up.
This is Critics Corner, the part of the show where we see what the critics have to say about this film. And I will start with our friend of the show, Peter Bradshaw of The Guardian.
Yes.
Throughout it all, Crow maintains a tough, slot-mouthed reticence.
What the hell does that mean?
I know. What is slot-mouthed?
Peter.
It sounds dirty.
Sounds
but
dirty.
I'm sure it's just normal. He is very persuasive as the Superman of the Colosseum.
I like that.
I'm going to Google what slot-mouthed is while you read the next one.
This is by Kitz. The effects may be great, but I couldn't stand watching all that violence. I know it's a true story, but they could have avoided showing all the heads coming off. It's a waste of time to watch this movie. If it was bad for Rome to have its people enjoy those gladiators killing each other, it is equally bad for movies if one enjoys watching all that violence. Interesting point. Makes you think.
That is, it's kind of interesting.
I'm not even being facetious, even though I've got my facetious voice on.
I think slot mouthed might mean like foul mouthed, but if you Google it, I'm not getting a straight answer. Yeah, I don't know what Peter's getting
slot?
At.
Where's that coming
from? I don't know. A lot of questions.
Mouth is kind of a slot. So it just means normal mouth.
Well, see, now that seems redundant then.
Right. Just call it mouth mouthed.
So this is from David Denby of The New Yorker. Ridley Scott thrusts us so close to the combat that all we see is a lot of whirling and thrashing. A sword thrust here and there, a spurt of blood, a limb severed. There's hardly a scene that is cleanly and coherently staged in open space. So David likes to see all the fighting. He like wants to see the violence in the wide shot.
I completely agree with that review.
Oh, really?
But I actually, that's like something I want to bring up later.
Do you feel like it's kind of a Michael Bay situation of action?
Should I spoil my thought right now?
Don't spoil it. Okay. Let's put a pin in that.
Okay. some people have criticized... Oh, this is by Curiosity. This is the Amazon reviewer. Some people have criticized the historical inaccuracy of this film, and that may be as it will. But the plot in its own inherent ill logic is already so bad that worrying about historical facts is vain. The plot is so bad that despite spectacular fights and CGI type reconstruction of old Rome, I was tempted to switch it off. The film is a disgrace and an insult. How stupid do you think your audience is, Mr. Ridley? With a gigantic Hollywood budget at hand, you had a chance to resurrect old Rome in all its glory and offer a satisfying and plausible story along with it. You have completely wasted that chance. For those still considering watching it, this is a long one, here is my recommendation. Do so at your own peril. And only if all you care about is action and admittedly breathtaking reconstructions of the Eternal City. Otherwise, you will end up one upset ticket buyer.
That was long.
Yeah,
here's an equal.
He insulted the CGI type resurrections, and then he said they were also breathtaking resurrections.
Yeah, I was very confused on that. Curiosity is all over the place.
I'll tell you what's curious. Go ahead.
This is from Jamie Bernard of the New York Daily News. If there's a soft spot in your heart for the sword and sandal epic, then you'll swoon with giddy delight over Gladiator. Now, for these next couple reviews, I actually ran out of American reviews, and I had to translate some international reviews.
Oh, boy.
See what you think of this.
Okay, so this is a French review that I'm about to read by Annette. Beautiful name, Annette. Here we go. Puffed. Sorry, I got to pause. How did they translate puffed?
I assume they could not translate it, and that was originally in the text.
Huh, all right. Puffed. This peplum with modern sauce did not touch me, and above all, disappointed. Why take it like that and commode? Interesting point.
I assume Commodus is who she's talking about.
Translated it for some reason.
We'll probably translate it from the Latin and try to get the closest English word.
Let's continue. In the reality of Roman historians, commode was no worse than many other Roman emperors. Moreover, he was a tall and strong man who loved to face gladiators and who, in fact, would have made only a bite of Russell Crowe.
That's so cute.
So... not historically accurate.
Too much modern sauce.
Yeah, you want to go ahead with the last one?
This is translated from Japanese, and it's lovely, really. This is Eichsmanson, the worst of historical works I've ever seen. Money is wasted on such a smelly story. Never believe in many high ratings, as it is.
P.U. That's what it would have said if it was in English.
If it was American, yeah.
Yeah. So that's good. That's a good segment.
Okay. Shall we do the intern summary?
Sure. I don't know. We've been just talking a lot. Should we say any thoughts about the movie at all, or are we just going to interject?
Let's just interject.
All right.
We're interjectors. All right, I'll start. So we start. It's 180 AD. The Romans are fighting some battles under our sexy general Mac. Okay, let's talk about this. This is really important. Michael, is Russell Crowe hot in this film?
No. I don't
think
so. No,
Michael, you did not even take a second to think about that before you swept it out of hand.
I did take a second now to think about it. That implies that I didn't think about it earlier.
Right. Like, clearly this is a question that's been weighing on you.
No. He's got the bod. But, nah, just sad dog. He's got sad dog face.
That's not sexy to you?
No, I'm just not a sad dog boy, no.
He seems like a guy who... He's got all the right things there. Like, he's got the good hair and the good bod. And I'm like, why is he not hotter? It feels like he should be. And I can't explain why.
Sad dog.
My answer is I lay awake at night wondering, is he even hot?
Okay,
I don't know.
So you did prepare for the podcast and you did think about it. That's all I want.
Yes, I take this very seriously. We're professional.
Okay.
All right. So Maximus, who is supposed to be coded as hot for the audience at home. Mm-hmm. So they're like, have one final battle against the Germanic tribes. After this, it's going to be all over. He wins. Yay. Marcus Aurelius, who's like the big emperor, he looks on. He's like, good job, man. You did it.
Okay. Here was my thought earlier about the camera work, because it applies here and it applies everywhere in the movie. I was thinking, I actually kind of like this movie overall. But something that I don't like about it, and this might not make any sense, so tell me if this makes any sense, is like Ridley Scott's other film that we saw, Alien. One of the things I liked about that is the camera work was like really subtle and like steady, and you just got a lot of wide shots, and you got to like admire everything that was in the frame. And it was just very like slow, but also action-packed when it needed to be. And I just thought the camera work there was perfect. And this... The camera work is a lot sort of messier and in your face. And maybe that's what they were going for, because it's like, oh, it's gladiators. They're more rough and tumble. But to me, the camera work just comes across as very 2000s.
Very. I was just going to say that. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just think that's very surprising with someone like Ridley Scott. I feel like you bring him on because he has such a strong voice as a director. And I didn't really see that come through in the camera work. So I agree with you a lot.
I thought this about the movie Departed, too, which came around this time. It's just very like in your face and cool. I don't know how to describe it.
I know exactly. Like a lot of quick cuts, a lot of like real close-ups, a lot of like sudden cuts to something very violent for 2 seconds to kind of like throw you off kilter,
right?
Like that kind of thing.
It's like if you do what this movie is doing 10 more times, you get 300. It's like all movies are on a scale from Alien to 300, and this is inching towards 300.
They also do that thing. They do the slow pan out and then circling around a person from a lower angle. They do that a few times.
Yeah.
Before that became a staple of Michael Bay films and kind of became a joke, I feel like they kind of utilized that a lot in this movie.
So, honestly, that might be my least favorite part of the film.
Whoa. Okay.
Which is high praise, which means I kind of think
this
film's all right.
Yeah, I'm surprised. So go on. What happens next?
After the battle, Marcus Aurelius and Maximus talk. Marcus tells... wait, hold on. I'm confused. Russell Crowe is Maximus. And Marcus is Joaquin?
He's the old guy.
He's the
Richard
old
Harris.
Guy. And he's the leader
of everyone.
I think
this is his last movie. He's a very famous British actor.
All right. Marcus tells Maximus that he'd like him to take control after he dies. He's adamant that his son Commodus, and this one's played by Joaquin Phoenix, Joaquin, who has recently arrived in Germania with his sister Lucia, Connie Nielsen, Connie, with his sister.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. So Marcus the old guy says about his son, he is not a moral man.
Yeah, he can't rule. You know what I really like about this movie? Mm-hmm. It just reminds me of the way everyone really enunciates. Everyone is really here for it. Like if they were in a different movie, the acting would be kind of hammy, but it's like very Shakespearean. Everyone always says Commodus like that. I really like that.
Yeah, but like actually the camera work kind of detracts from that, right? Like, yeah, the way that totally. The acting, like Joaquin and everybody, is like really great. But you think of an old movie like Spartacus, which coincidentally we were talking about before the recording. It's like that movie felt more like epic and classy than this one does.
Right. It feels like they're doing a play and they're really selling it to the back of the theater.
Yeah.
But they're doing Michael Bay cuts in your face
while filming a Backstreet Boys music video.
Oh, God.
While they're in an airport terminal singing I Want That Way.
Right. So Maximus, like, he doesn't really want to take over because he really wants to get back home. Marcus Aurelius goes to his son, Joaquin Phoenix, is like, oh, by the way, you're not going to be the next emperor. So he's like, but I want to be. So he decides to smother him with a pillow and he dies. Sorry. Joaquin Phoenix kills Marcus Aurelius, the old guy. And then he lies to everyone about it.
Here's an interjection. Joaquin Phoenix, get ready for this. I think he's a good actor.
What? Hot take?
Yeah. He's just really good.
You think he's good?
And I mean, not only is he good, but this is like a Joaquin role, you know? Like, who else does this?
Don't you think he's like good at kind of a specific thing, which is good? Like, I don't mean that to detract from his talent.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing at all.
It is being the off-putting weirdo.
If you brought a generalist, they would have done a worse job.
Yes. Well, it's so funny because I remember that Johnny Cash movie did. I remember thinking it was really good. And I watched it again recently. And it's like, it still is Joaquin Phoenix. He is still an unapproachable weirdo in that movie. But maybe Johnny Cash is like that. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, he is now. That's in history.
All right.
I forget where we are.
Before Maximus.
Before Maximus can do anything, Commodus has him arrested and taken for execution. But Maximus escapes and races back to Spain, where he lives. Commodus, however, beats him to the punch. Romans have already slaughtered Maximus's family. Maximus is not super happy.
Yeah, I also kind of get where our friend Peter Bradshaw is coming from, where Maximus is kind of a Superman. Like, he was tied up in the woods, and he says something like, oh, I need a last request. I'm going to stall for 2 seconds, somehow going to get out of my binds and just slaughter 5 guys and ride all the way to Spain from Germany.
Here's a dumb thing about me, but whenever I sit down and start a historical movie, I always worry that it's like, uh-oh, I wonder if this movie's too smart for me. But then when Russell Crowe was like, actually, I'll break out of these chains and then I'm going to kill you all in a cool action scene. I'm like, all right, this is my, I can get it. I'll know what's happening.
Yeah, you're going to be okay. So he's in Spain and a slave caravan picks him up and suddenly he's awake and he's in Africa on the outskirts of the Roman Empire. He's purchased along with some other slaves to be sold to an entertainer. And this is how he gets to gladiating.
Mm-hmm. It takes a while to gladiate.
It does.
During his first training session at Proximo's house/training camp, Maximus refuses to fight. We get the impression that he's just planning on standing around and getting killed so the misery will be over. Everything changes once he's thrust into the arena, where he decides to defend himself and ultimately distinguishes himself.
So he's like super good at gladiating because he's just a Superman,
which is great.
He's just fucking Jack Bauer of the Colosseum. Let's just be real.
Hell yeah.
So meanwhile, Joaquin Phoenix comes back to Rome and he is a conquering hero. He slayed all the barbarians in Germany and everything is going perfectly, even though his dad's dead. So Commodus has his first meeting with the Senate and it's clear that even though he pretends to care about people, all he really cares about is power. And that's going to be an important theme about this, that like he wants to be a dictator, but Rome is about democracy. And John's going to come on and tell us why all that's nonsense. But
I have no idea why. I don't even like these movies. But when talking about, oh, we'll negotiate with the Senate, I just think of Star Wars.
Every fucking time.
Star Wars prequel. I have no idea why. They don't own the concept of a Senate. Like, that's a...
But they were trying to do the Roman Senate. Like, everyone's in robes and sandals. It's the same.
It's the same thing.
I thought exactly the same thing when I was watching this movie. It was all Star Wars in my head.
Yeah, and in Star Wars, the second one, they're in a gladiator arena.
I think, didn't you quote Star Wars Natalie Portman while we were watching it?
What's Natalie's line? Like, democracy dies with
not with not with a whimper, but with applause. Thunderous with applause.
Something like that. It's a good line.
I think we did it perfectly.
We did it perfectly. We'll edit it in.
So this is how liberty dies. With thunderous applause.
Meanwhile, wait, where am I at? Lucia, who's the sister, who has some idea of what really happened to their father, acts as an intermediary between Commodus and the senators. Commodus knows he needs to do something to consolidate power, and he decides to stage a series of gladiator games to honor his late father and give the people the kind of spectacle that they want and crave.
So this is like a weird thing, too, where it's like, oh, no, we should be a democracy and rule the people. And Commodus is like, hey, you know what people fucking love? Gladiators. I'm giving it to them. And like, no, not like that. Do it different.
Here's an interjection. Here's why I kind of actually like this movie, because it's a simple story, but it makes sense to me that he's like, I'll consolidate the power by getting people to really like me, and people will like me if I throw these games. And yeah. Then later with Russell Crowe, they like Russell Crowe, and that's why he has power over Commodus. That all makes sense to me. And I like
it's
that.
Like, it's like a movie about how important public relations is.
But it's also, I mean, it's such a simple story. You'd think this kind of thing would have been done 1,000 times, but it's like, it feels original to me.
It's been done. But I agree with you. Like, it's actually, it feels like a complex epic, but it's actually not.
Yeah. I mean, I actually think the plot is perfect. In my opinion.
Yeah. So anyway, we're back in Africa. Maximus is winning again because he's really good about it. But he doesn't like this. He doesn't like being used for entertainment. And he shows it by throwing down his sword and screaming into the stands, are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
And then we all have to do that gif for like a long time because it's great. Yeah, it's a good gift. And you know, his abs are popping and the camera twirls around him.
He's a little slot mouth for my taste, but otherwise Proximo, here's how this movie continues. Proximo tells him that he too was once a gladiator.
Proximo is the guy who owns like the gladiating school and is a slave trader. Sorry.
And that he was released from servitude by Marcus Aurelius. He also tells him that they're going to Rome to compete. He knows Maximus is good, but he could be magnificent. He also tells him that the key to winning his freedom is winning the crowd.
See? Uh-huh. That's what I'm saying. It's all about good publicity. So gladiators come to Rome. Their first competition is a reenactment of one of the battles of Carthage. I really liked this scene. I don't know why. Maybe it's because the... I think a lot of the complaints at the time were this movie was really bloody, but it kind of looks silly. Like, I don't like when people get their head chopped off. I'm not like, ew, yeah, you know, yeah. Like, well, that's happening. The scene is so fun. Cause like, so, Russell Crowe is masked and Joaquin Phoenix having such a fun time watching him just kill everybody and mm-hmm. like being a delightful weirdo, but he has no idea his enemy is lurking. So yeah, because Russell Crowe's team is supposed to be the losers and they don't even have proper weapons. But because he's Superman, as we've discussed, he just kills everybody.
No,
anyway.
No, you're omitting the most powerful weapon they have, which is friendship. They bond together. They said, if we all use using teamwork, we can conquer anything.
Yes. Dream work makes teamwork.
Yeah, that's personally my favorite line in the film.
Yeah. So then Joaquin Phoenix wants to go meet the Spaniard, which is what they call him now.
All right. He discovers that the Spaniard is Maximus. And the two have a strange confrontation. Commodus is in disbelief and Maximus promises revenge.
And this is where he has his cool speech about how he's definitely going to kill him. But he can't like kill him, which is cool.
And the crowd loves Maximus already. And Commodus can't kill him because that would be political suicide. It makes sense.
So the sister Lucia is like, by the way, I don't think it's in the description, but there is also some weird Game of Thrones-y incest-y stuff with her. And
what's the difference between weird incest and weird Games of Thrones incest? Yeah.
That it's all about a power dynamic with powerful people.
Yeah, that's, I see.
But I should not have referenced that because I have not seen Game of Thrones.
But we can imagine.
We can can imagine. We get it. Everyone's wearing cool costumes.
And dragons, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we get it.
We get it.
So she visits Maximus because they all know each other. I don't remember why. So she wants him to meet with the senator because she thinks that Maximus can like really defeat Joaquin Phoenix and bring democracy back. But he's not interested in helping her. No. He just wants revenge.
There's a kind of crush going on between them. Not established. She likes him, I think.
Yeah.
But his wife's dead.
They Mac later.
I actually forget that. I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was a very brief Mac. Blink and you'll miss it, Mac.
I think Russell Crowe is good in this role, but the character is just so boring. Like, he's not.
Yes, remember, that's what we really liked about Spartacus, that Kirk Douglas was so fun.
Yeah, Kirk Douglas would have done a better job in this film if he was not dead. Is he dead?
He just died, but he was super old. He was like 103 or something.
It was his time. Commodus visits him again and tries to get him angry. He gloats over the death of Maximus's wife and son. Cruel. But Maximus doesn't take the bait. He simply says,
I am so excited to hear your Russell Crowe. Go for it.
It's time for honoring yourself and soon be at an end, Highness.
That was perfect.
I think that wasn't even a clip of the movie. That was just me saying it.
Yeah. That was you, Michael Flaherty?
Well, wow. Okay, you're not fooled because this is... All right.
So Commodus is real angry with Maximus and the crowd. He hates the people because he hates democracy. So he can't just kill Maximus. So his man from the Senate tells him a story about a sea snake that lies in wait, even while its enemies take a bite out of it. And Commodus will do the same. It's very cool illustration of things, I guess.
We only got like five more, six more paragraphs. Cicero, Maximus's former assistant, visits him and tells him that Maximus's soldiers, the men of the unit, are camped at Ostia. Ostia, but would be ready to fight for him immediately. Maximus gives him a mission. Cicero flags down Lucia and tells her that Maximus will meet her senator. Lucia and Senator Gracchus visit Maximus.
So Maximus has a plan. He's going to buy his freedom, go out to his men, and they're going to return with an army, kill Commodus, and democracy for everybody. And the senator is kind of wary at first, but he agrees. His slave-owning pal refuses to help because he thinks the plan won't work. And yeah, that was a good instinct by Proximo.
Question. What is the us in Roman names? The Maximus, Gracchus?
You know what it is? It's singular.
Really? So if there were many Maximuses, it would be like, oh, we got a Maximo here. And that'd be like a group of Maximuses.
Maximi.
Like
alumnus, alumni. Those are Latin. That's Latin, the singular and plural.
Huh. Wonder why they had to say, oh, I'm here. And also I'm just one. Like, why did that have to be a part of the name?
I don't know.
Okay. Interesting.
But not for ladies, I guess.
Not for ladies. Yeah. There's always just one of them. don't know what that means. Maximus proposes a plan. Buy his freedom. Is this the right place? I keep losing.
No,
so.
It's certainly not. Because, okay, so Proximo just said that plan isn't going to work, and then we find out that plan isn't going to work. Tell us why.
Shortly thereafter, Gracchus is arrested. That's why. Lucia visits Maximus again, tells him that the plot must move forward immediately because Commodus is starting to figure things out. When Lucia returns, Commodus lets her know that he knows something fishy is up and basically threatens to kill those dearest to her if she doesn't tell him what's going on. She tells him everything off screen.
There's this scene where... So first there's this scene where Lucia's son is pretending to be a gladiator and he's like, oh, you're pretending to be a Roman emperor? He's like, no, I'm Maximus because he's the best. He's like, fuck Maximus. But then there's this scene that like just makes your... like it just chills you to your bone when he's like just being a nice uncle but in his creepy Joaquin Phoenix way where he's like, what a beautiful boy. And looking at Lucia and you're like, oh, stop it!
You know who else could have been... Joaquin Phoenix. I'm recasting the role.
Okay.
James Gandolfini.
It's a weird choice.
You don't think it would have worked?
No, because it's really important that he's super in shape.
Oh yeah. Is it?
Yeah, that comes up later. So, by the way, at the beginning of the film, there is a real brief scene where he's fighting a bunch of dudes. And this is apparently a true historical thing that John will probably tell us about, that he really, this emperor in real life liked to fight people and was very good at it.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that is why I'm not undermining his acting ability, but I just don't see him gladiating.
Hey, you're right. Sorry.
How dare you? Take it back.
It's your turn.
So the slave owner visits Maximus and he lets him out. He's changed his mind, probably because Maximus told him the truth about who really killed Marcus Aurelius. And as we learned earlier, Marcus Aurelius is the one who freed Proximo. So Maximus's gladiator friends, because as we remember, teamwork makes dream work.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
They assist in his escape.
First rule of gladiator.
And then everyone gets captured again real quick. So I didn't really get what the point of that was. So Commodus, he visits Maximus beneath the Colosseum and he's like, you know what? You and I are going to fight. And Maximus is like, well, great, because I'm Superman and I can just kill anybody. Oh, wait, Michael. But you know what he does?
What does he do?
Joaquin Phoenix stabs him in the back, literally, and then orders that the wound be covered up with his costume.
Got to say, good strategy.
It's a good way to go.
You're definitely going to win easier if the other guy's stabbed. Maximus and Commodus fight. With Maximus eventually killing him, so it didn't even
work. I gotta say, that's probably true in pretty much any kind of competition. If you have secretly stabbed your opponent, you probably have an advantage,
right? How's Nelson gonna play chess against you if he's been stabbed
and no one knows he's been stabbed?
Once his arm reaches up to hit the timer, he's gonna be feeling that pain. Maximus however succumbs to his wounds. Before he dies, he orders Senator Gracchus reinstated and expresses Marcus Aurelius's final wish that Rome be a republic again. Is that a line? Go ahead with the rest of this.
Lucia rushes down, orders that he be honored as a soldier of Rome. He arrives in the afterlife and greets his wife and son. Before then, he becomes a time traveler, I guess. Yay!
Fantastic. Let's now we're going to go to the segment called Bro Call, where we hear what our brother John thinks of the movie Gladiator. John,
bring, bring.
Are you here?
Ring, ring. Ring, ring.
Not yet.
Ring, ring. John. John.
At some point, he'll be in the call.
John. Great.
John. Ring, ring. Are you here to talk about the movie Gladiator?
Oh, wow. You guys went to the end real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
John, don't even tell us what you think of the movie. Just tell us some historical facts and then grade it.
Or
go.
Do whatever you want.
Or do
we? Yeah, I'm going to do whatever I want because, I mean, that's the trick of this movie.
This is a republic, John. This is not a dictatorship.
Sorry, I was wondering, why am I getting sound? It's because I had a browser up on the other side doing the movie. Right, I mean, this movie like presents itself like it's obviously a John movie. It's got violence, combat of every kind. It purports to be a historical drama. And it's got a villain with, like, he's got a real legitimate gripe. And, you know, he's got a lot going for him. He's not, like, just some character
caricature.
Thank you. But I don't like the movie that much.
Would have been cooler if there were turtles that ate pizza. That's more of a John movie.
Would have been cooler.
Right. I'm going to move right on past that one. So, yeah. I mean, if you're going to this movie looking for history, you shouldn't. This movie is not a historical movie. It's got a historical foundation that then they proceed to build a house somewhere else, not on the foundation. So, yeah, I mean, you can't go to this movie for history at all. I can nitpick the specifics, and I'd love to, but nah. I mean, I think I did like this movie when it came out, when I was younger. But these rewatchings, I think I've identified what I really don't like about it, and it's that this movie has no heart. Wow. There's no beating heart that drives the movie. It's all just kind of sadness and happening.
What? Russell Crowe, he defeats the evil villain. And he uses teamwork to save Rome.
You know what, John? I think I like the movie more than you did, but I also kind of agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, like, this movie spends a lot of time around its combat scenes, but I don't actually enjoy any of them. And I keep thinking about this, like, technically, Russell Crowe is very good, and all the combat scenes are shot very well. But I never, like, think back to them like, wow, wasn't that really cool? Nah, it just kind of happened. And if I'm thinking about that, me, if I am thinking about the combat scenes and I don't really care, this movie has missed something for me. And it's that heart problem. I just am not invested in the movie, in the characters, in the story, in Rome, to really enjoy the movie thoroughly.
Can you think of any specific change they could have made to the movie that would have made it a lot better?
So the one direction that obviously would have done it for me is if they would have gone historical, because they could have. They could have actually told the story in a real historical way. Would it have made as much sense plot-wise, like from a movie standpoint? Maybe not. I'd have to really think about that. They could have made Joaquin Phoenix more relatable and less of a villain.
Oh, hard disagree.
I'm going to stand by that one, because he has a legitimate gripe, and like he could have just been a real cool guy who really wanted power. He didn't have to be really Jones and her sister.
What was his legitimate gripe?
That he thought he deserved by divine right to be the next emperor, and his dad was like, you know what? I'm going to go in a different direction. But then he could have killed him and then tried to pretend like he's a good guy, just having to cover his tracks, kill Marcus or Maximus. Maximus comes back. You know, he could have played it much straighter, and I think I would have enjoyed that movie a lot more. As it is, I'm just like, oh, God, Joaquin Phoenix is on the screen. What kind of creepy shit is he going to do now? And I don't enjoy it. I could have really enjoyed him being on screen and being a villain, but a tortured villain. That would have been really fun. I think that would have been a much better movie.
I feel like you want to just watch a different movie, though.
That's possible. I'm saying this movie, I mean, it's technically well put together. I get why it won Best Picture. But even though this movie has all the elements that, like, on paper say this is a John movie, it doesn't do it for me anymore. I really like it.
So for those at home, John did this whole presentation before the movie. We were outdoors. Everyone settled down. Where he told us about the history of it. And one of the things was, it's nonsense that they're fighting for democracy or whatever, a quote unquote republic, when it never really was a democracy. And I'm like, I'm happy they made that change, because the political intrigue they do in this movie is perfect for a dummy like me. I'm like, I get it. You know, there's evil guy who wants a dictatorship versus the people's Rome. I'm like, got it. I'm there. You don't have to go into this. Like, that's the movie.
And that's where like a person like me will trip up on this, because I know that entire plot line, it's very basic in its presentation and execution, and it works on a superficial level, but that's my favorite level. If you just dig down a little bit, it just makes no sense.
What it could have used is a scene of Joaquin shaking his fist up to the air and going, "I'll get you next time, Maximus." I think that would have sold it. That's what they did back in the time. Yeah.
John also told us some facts, and maybe this wasn't even in your presentation, that like some of it would have been historically accurate, but like totally unbelievable. Even like the fact that gladiators were like celebrities who did endorsements and stuff like that. Like, that's such a weird concept that they wrote it out of the script because no one would believe that. They would think that was too weird.
Yeah, that's like one of those historical facts that just bothers the crap out of me. And it even bothered the crap out of me when I was younger, watching this movie in the theater and enjoying it. Like, that's not a sustainable economic model if you're killing half of your workforce every day on the job. Because, of course, that's not how gladiators actually worked.
They
died sometimes, particularly if they were really, really bad. Then the crowd would demand that they get killed. That was happened, but Rome was also a very brutal society. But I mean, even though the gladiators were purported to be slaves, it's important to know that slaves meant something different in Roman times than we think of it in the American sense. But they really would be celebrities, and they would fight people in, like, essentially they're boxers. They would fight in their own weight class, generally against people in their own schools, have scheduled matches, and then they would be honest to God celebrities who would, like, run advertising campaigns and be these celebrities endorsing products. They were our modern superstar sports players. They weren't people who just threw them out there into a battle and say, kill half of them. Cool. Here's your money. Go away. It didn't even make sense on paper to me without me doing any research on this. So it's just those things that bother the crap out of me watching this movie.
John also told us that the country of Spain didn't exist. Anyway, do you have a grade?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to grade this movie, you know, separating out the movie itself from me watching the movie. And I always tend to struggle with that, particularly with these historical-based movies. Could we do, like, Dunkirk? Because then I could do a whole different nerd.
We are not fucking doing Dunkirk.
I'm going to give it a B minus. B minus. Okay. I'm going to stand by my B minus. I mean, it's a good movie. It's watchable. It's just... there's no beating heart for it in me, and the things that appeal to me just, or should appeal to me, just don't. And that's disappointing. That's I'm not good. Mad movie. I'm just disappointed. Just
disappointed. Ouch.
John, thank you so much for joining us.
This is great.
All right, Michael. Now for everyone's favorite segment. Good movie, bad movie. Michael, why is this a bad movie?
So we talked before how... for a movie that's 3 hours long and set in ancient Rome, doesn't really feel that much of an epic just because of the camera work that's so like 2000s, as we've previously discussed, right?
Yeah.
But I guess so I'll also tag along with John's point. I don't really care that much about Russell Crowe. Just like whatever he does, maybe he's not that charismatic as a person or he's just not that friendly, but something about him, it's like... I just don't care about you that much. And that's a big drag too.
I think, so to your question to John, what would have made this better is I think what made Spartacus better is just making him a person, right? Yeah. He was just this serious guy who lost everything and was fucking good at all the killing, right?
I push back. You can be an ultra badass and be likable and cool.
Right. So I'm saying but you can't just do that.
Right.
Right? Like Jack Bauer makes jokes sometimes.
Exactly.
Well, and he has vulnerabilities.
He protects
America.
And
he's interesting. Yeah. And he doesn't have a great relationship with his daughter sometimes.
It's
right? Like he's got, there's a lot of things
we've
that humanize Jack Bauer.
Exactly.
And that's what so you can be a Superman who kind of is too good at your job outside the realms of logic even. Like I'm okay with that. Just a little more. You know, a little fun. And that's actually my biggest argument for why it's not that good a movie to me is I usually don't care for movies that are too self-serious. I don't think there was one moment that I even like kind of smiled to myself a little. Like there wasn't anything that was fun about this movie. Well, that's not entirely true.
I almost forgot about my favorite part of this film, which is maybe the worst part. This movie came out in 2000, and the score is by Hans Zimmer.
Oh, yeah.
He also did the music for Pirates of the Caribbean. So you might come to the conclusion that's like, oh, he did both those movies around the same time, and they're kind of the same genre. I bet the music is a little bit similar. No, it's the same music. You put it back to back. It's like, this is literally just the Pirates of the Caribbean soundtrack from The Gladiator.
Yeah, I was like, they're playing the music. And I was like, have I listened to The Gladiator soundtrack recently? That's so familiar. I was like, oh, right.
And I think I said to you, it's like, listen to the music. You're like, oh, it's kind of so. Oh, no, that's just the track from that movie.
I feel like John Williams kind of gets crap for being samey sometimes, but that is real samey.
It's very funny. Yeah.
So why do you think it's a good movie?
The plot makes sense to me, and I like how it's a simple, basic plot. Although the movie's still too long for having such a basic plot.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to put that in bad movie. Too long. But other than that, it's good because you understand.
Simplistic, good villain. I mean, the hero, I do like badass heroes. When he is in the snow, he's like, I'll kill 5 guys with my hands tied by my back. Hey, I liked it. Sue me, right? Sue me. I don't care. I liked it.
Here's what I like about this movie is I like a movie more when I shouldn't like it. Like at the end of this movie, I'm like, that is so not my kind of movie, but I did enjoy it still. I don't know exactly what it is about it. I mean, Joaquin Phoenix was so unsettling and good. I think even though Russell Crowe was kind of boring, he was very good at the thing he was doing. He was like, I am a wronged hero who must be here for my vengeance. Like, okay, so you're not like a real person, but I'm having a fun
time.
My
only counterpoint is just like, couldn't have anybody done that role?
Yeah. And been hotter? Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Because I think what... the Marvel Universe has taught us is you actually can be super hot and be a human person who can act.
Who are you referring to specifically?
I think all of the stars, really. I think Captain America was who I thought of first. I just rewatched Captain America for a reason I can't tell you why. I just was like, I wonder if that's good. Because I never remember any of the Avengers films after I see them.
How was it?
It was okay.
It was okay.
And unrewatching it, actually thinking about watching it, I'm like, Chris Evans doesn't have to be that good. Like, Chris Evans is like, oh, wow. You know,
he's like
a whole person with motives that you care about. And he's got abs that you can bounce a quarter off of. You can do two things.
He was a good get.
Yeah.
What do you?
But I think all of them are the Thor. And anyway, go on.
What do you grade? First, what do you grade Captain America? Because we all want to know.
Captain America, I'm going to give a solid B+.
That's high.
Like, I think it's better than you remember, honestly.
I've never seen that first Captain America movie.
You don't.
B+, though? I mean, okay.
I honestly thought it was pretty good. And it has a really nice emotional through line in the movie. And I actually, the effect of tiny Steve Rogers has aged very well.
Excellent. Now.
So
for
Gladiator. Yeah, that's what this podcast is about, right? Thanks, folks. I'm going to give Gladiator B+. It's kind of high, but
you know what? I'm swayed. You should feel personally insulted because I'm swayed by John's grade and not your grade. I'm going to go B-.
Okay.
I want to go B.
I'm sorry. It's too long.
It's too long.
too long, joyless.
But like for me, it's like too long. I don't mind if it's too long, but too long and not epic. Like, be epic. You're a Rome movie that's 3 hours. Be epic.
Yeah. It's not epic enough.
Colleen, I have a question for you. Who are we sponsored by this week?
This week, we're sponsored by Dr. Pepper. When you want a fancy soda that went to graduate school.
We totally did this James Acaster bit already. But when I go to a restaurant, I take the food back and I say, to Dr. Peppery. And I like to see what he changes.
Dr. Pepper, it says it's mixed fruit. Who do they think I am? I know what fruit tastes like. This tastes like a sexy battery.
Yeah, 23 flavors. What could that be? All right. And now we're going to discover what film we're doing next week. I'm going to spin the wheel.
I'm so excited. What's it going to be?
Ding, 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 ding. Huh, this is a surprise. It's the 1993 classic that I've heard is not very good, the Super Mario Brothers movie.
No. I have never seen that.
Apparently, John has. John is mad. I can't wait for that. Stay tuned for that trailer. And cut.
Feeling we're not in Brooklyn no more.
Luigi!
Sandy! You better not hurt
her! They're brothers. They're plumbers.
Oh no. Mario!
Luigi!
They're on the trail of a kidnapped princess and a mystical meteorite.
It's incredible!
That gives anyone who possesses it the power. Rule the universe.
Get me the rock!
Come and get it, lizard breath!
Now, they must rescue the princess.
Luigi! Alien species escaping.
And make it safely back.
Later, alligator.
To our world.
Are you alright?
Before time runs out. Super Mario Brothers. This ain't no game.